Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Matthew Meyerly. I'm an attorney with Lancaster County Public Defender's Office, appearing today on behalf of Trevor Case. We're asking this court to reverse Mr. Case's conviction for the charge of assault by confined person on two main grounds. The first was the district court's failure to give Mr. Case's proposed jury instruction regarding self-defense. The second is the admission of this jail call, which was received by the court as Exhibit Number 13, and which was the product of a belated disclosure by the state, but ultimately was permitted to be played as evidence at Mr. Case's trial. I'd like to start first, if I may, with the jury instruction issue. In State v. Kinzer, this court established a very low bar for the provision of a self-defense instruction. In that case, the court said that if there is any evidence to support a legally cognizable claim of self-defense, that the court is required to give that proposed instruction, and that a defendant need only to produce a slight amount of evidence to satisfy that initial burden. And our position in this case is that we did satisfy that initial burden. The court in Kinzer made it clear that it is not the province of the trial court to decide factual issues when it considers the evidence which is produced in support of a self-defense claim to be weak or doubtful. But unfortunately, what we believe is that that's what the trial court did in this case. If you look at the record, when we were at the jury instruction conference and requested the self-defense instruction, the district court said that the court did not believe that there had been any testimony that the alleged victim in the case had created the initial contact. In other words, that all of the evidence was that Mr. Case had been the initial aggressor, but we don't believe that that's what the evidence showed. We think that from Exhibit Number 12, which was a surveillance video showing the fight there in the pod at the Lancaster County Jail, that it was at a minimum unclear as to who had initiated the initial physical contact. And then furthermore, Mr. Case, on his testimony, did testify that the alleged victim had initiated the initial physical contact, that the alleged victim had taken a step toward him, lowered his shoulder, initiated the physical contact, and it was only then that Mr. Case responded.
Let me back up to the sure. applicable law.
Yes, Your Honor.
Subsequent to Kinzer, appellate courts have said that a defendant would not be entitled to a self-defense instruction if the defendant unjustifiably placed him or herself in harm's way.
That's correct.
So how do you apply that to this case?
Well, we don't believe that the evidence established that Mr. Case had placed himself unjustifiably in harm's way. Mr. Case's testimony was that he had had some difficulties with this individual who was a former cellmate of his, but that on the day of the fight that he had gone out of his cell in an attempt to talk with this individual, in an attempt.
And then you were referring to the video. What does the video show that would illustrate what had occurred?
The video had no sound, but the video does show the alleged victim and another inmate kind of walking in circles around the pod, walking laps around the pod, shows Mr. Case go out of the pod, approach the victim, extend his hand, and engage in some brief conversation.
Does the video show that the other inmate in question and another individual are walking laps, is that right?
That's correct.
And they're going in a counterclockwise direction,
yes,
is that
Your
correct?
Honor. That's correct.
And they're at about 11 o'clock where the altercation occurs, would you call that?
If you're looking at the pod as a clock, so to speak.
Right, it's one of the two approaches. There's two videos, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and so the defendant comes out at 9 o'clock, and rather than go with the flow, he goes clockwise directly to the other inmate.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, what is the significance of that?
I think the significance of that is that the reason why Mr. Case went out of his cell is not for exercise or not to join in these laps, but because, and this is consistent with what his testimony was, he wanted to discuss these issues and this tension that he felt with the other inmate. So he walks over to the other inmate, Mr. Burley, and that there's a brief conversation that occurs, or there's a brief interaction that can be observed on the video, and then the physical altercation starts.
Doesn't that mean he put himself in harm's way?
I don't know that it necessarily is a per se conclusion that he put himself in harm's way if it was not his intent to go out there to initiate some sort of physical altercation. And this is where I think that this case differs somewhat from the Marshall case and from that Valeriano case that were relied upon by the district court, in that in the Marshall case, I think there was some testimony that, what the case summary of the facts said, was that Marshall had gone out of his house with a gun specifically to confront the individual who was outside of the house with the gun. So I think the facts in Marshall are a more clear-cut conclusion that Marshall had put himself in harm's way. I think the facts in Valeriano that were relied upon by the district court are a more clear-cut case that Mr. Valeriano had put himself specifically in harm's way by going into the other inmate's cell, which is a place that he had no legal right to be. I think in this case, I don't think you can draw a per se conclusion that Mr. Case had put himself in harm's way and so therefore is not entitled to a self-defense instruction if Mr. Case's testimony is that it was not his intention to go out there to initiate some sort of physical confrontation or anything like that. I think that, and fundamentally this is what the court had said in Myers and in Kinzer, is that it's for the jury to decide, basically, whether or not the self-defense statute applies, really. But it is incumbent upon the district court to give a self-defense instruction when there is any evidence to support it. We believe that in this case we did meet that burden, and we do believe in this case that the court did err by failing to give the instruction.
If they had given the instruction, would it also have been appropriate to instruct the jury on this idea of putting himself in harm's way? Is that something that the jury also decides?
I mean, the court has an independent obligation to correctly instruct on the law. I think the pattern instruction that we submitted, the pattern self-defense instruction, is an appropriate statement of the law. Ultimately, there was no proposed instruction by the state regarding putting a person's self in harm's way or anything like that. I suppose that would be an issue that could be addressed through a proposed instruction. That wasn't the case in this situation. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time, if I may, and if there are no further questions at this time, I'd ask to reserve the balance for rebuttal, please.
Thanks. That is fine. Thank you. Mr. Lewis, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Matt Lewis, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the state of Nebraska. This is a direct appeal of appellant's conviction of assault by a confined person after a jury found him guilty of that offense in Lancaster County District Court. Turning first to the district court's refusal to give the self-defense jury instruction, the state disagrees with Case's argument that the instruction was warranted due to the lack of evidence or testimony that would raise the requisite legally cognizable claim of self-defense. I would argue that you need something more than just saying self-defense to get in the realm of self-defense. Kinzer says something similar and says that you need evidence to support your theory of self-defense. So therefore, Case needed to show that he had a reasonable and good faith belief in the necessity of using force, and that force used in defense was immediately necessary and justified under the circumstances.
Did he establish that through his testimony?
Excuse me?
Did he establish that through his testimony?
He asserted that there was a self-defense theory that he puts forth. However, I would argue that one, the other evidence that is received by the trial court during the case, during the case's trial, does not corroborate his account. One,
is that something for the jury to sort out?
So in the case law, the court has to weigh in some respect whether or not there is enough to present a self-defense jury instruction to the jury. So there's some sort of weighing that has to go on.
Weighing? Or is weighing the right term?
Not weighing, but making a determination on whether or not that theory of self-defense is even present or is supported by the evidence in order
met up with the other inmate to have a discussion, not to have a fight. Is that enough?
I don't believe that that is enough, especially given the fact that his own testimony says that this wasn't just necessarily a discussion. He says that I have been on sort of the receiving end of veiled threats from this inmate. I have been... this isn't just a disagreement. This isn't just tension. This is something that has been sort of brewing and simmering for a while, and he claims that he makes statements to the correction staff.
So it's the subject matter of the discussion. I approached the other inmate to have a discussion because we have a beef.
Yes, that is what he purports happened, and that is what he is saying he did. However, there is other testimony, including from Case himself, that he is saying when he talks to the investigator who's investigating the assault, that I didn't think correction staff was handling this problem, so I decided that I was going to go handle it myself. You also have the phone call from Case where he states to his mother after the fact where he says, I went after him. When she asked, did he go after you or did you go after him? He says, I went after him. So I would say that some of the other evidence that is on display doesn't comport with his statements.
But that's sort of creeping up on weighing things, and the question is there enough evidence to give the self-defense instruction?
I do think that I'm sort of getting into witness credibility, but you also have the videotape at the end of the day, which, you know, is it shows quite plainly what it shows. And while I'll concede that it is not, I mean, it's not a direct overhead within a couple of feet of the altercation, it does support the other accounts of the fight that are not Mr. Case's about how the fight went down.
Does the video show Mr. Case leaving a position of safety and placing himself in a situation where the confrontation occurred?
Does it show Mr. Case retreating?
No, originally. Was Mr. Case in a position of safety?
Where yes. It shows him flag the command pod, or however you want to term it, that he wants out of his cell. He leaves his cell and goes straight to, makes a beeline straight to the victim and his companion, his walking companion.
And that's where the confrontation occurred.
Like almost no time elapses in between. He makes no other stops. He makes no other, he walks directly around. And
how much time passes from when he originally reaches the other individual and the physical fight starts?
I don't have the exact timing out in my head, but I want to say it can't be much more than less than a minute probably. If there's talking going on, it's pretty quick. And then that video shows the victim, much to the victim's testimony, stepping past Mr. Case, going around him, which is on the opposite side, so the camera is coming from this angle, and the victim steps around Mr. Case from this angle, which at what point Mr. Case claims that there is some sort of a jab or a shoulder check or something like that, some sort of contact, which would bring me to my next point, that the force that, even if there was some sort of initiation of force by the victim based in that sort of contact, the amount of force that is then employed by Mr. Case is very disproportionate to whatever threat was imminent and directly in front of him. Case gives him a punch, and then they start squaring off a little bit. I think Case takes him to the ground, and then as the victim starts to disengage from the fight, Case then starts pursuing him through the day room. As officers are coming in to try and squash what's going on, the officers start giving commands for Mr. Case to stop. He disobeys those and continues trying to, in his words, he doesn't think that the threat is finished, is out.
All the information you just provided there, though, that'll all be part of the self-defense analysis, would it not? Because the initiation is the point that matters to this court for the issue we're here today on. What happened after that would be part of the self-defense analysis.
Correct, yeah. At the end of the day, the video shows that there was no indication that the victim did anything other than attempt to walk away or walk past Mr. Case, which was the statement of the victim. But again, I would just say that, you know, the contact, if any, that was made by the victim would not have presented something that would...
If the victim's just walking away, how is this a position of danger?
How
did Case put himself in a position of danger? How do we square those two things?
I guess that would sort of be my point, is that he is approaching this almost to the point where he may be looking for a fight, potentially, or looking for some reason to haul off on this guy. And the victim, you know, sort of disengages and, you know, this doesn't go the way that he's looking for it to go and decides to start the fight anyway. I think that just sort of goes into what the mindset of Case was when he was approaching the victim and you know, trying to, you know, quote-unquote address the situation. Or address some of the tension and disagreement that he says that he was having, but clearly there's some other things behind all this. In other cases, his testimony might be enough, but at the end of the day, the video does not corroborate his account of the encounter, and so the state would just submit that the district court properly refused to give the self-defense jury instruction. Unless there are other questions on that, I'd move to the next point. As for his assignment regarding the use of Exhibit 13, the recorded jail call, the state submits that any error was waived, that there was no abuse of discretion here by the court in allowing the admission of the call. Case did not request or pursue a continuance as the remedy for any prejudice that would have resulted from the belatedly disclosed evidence, and this court has repeatedly held that this is the remedy that should be granted where there would be such a violation to prevent waiving any associated rights. The state assured that it disclosed the evidence as soon as it was discovered. The state indicated its desire to proceed, but did, you know, concede and make quite clear that a continuance would be the proper remedy.
The objection that was raised was solely based on untimely disclosure?
I believe it was, yes. Case declined a continuance, but continued to press for exclusion. This was denied by the court, and the court went ahead with setting a trial date and proceeding with trial. Essentially, Case waived any error for failing to seek a continuance here, and the exhibit was properly deemed admissible by the district court despite any potential discovery violation. Unless there are further questions on that point, I'll just move to the sufficiency point. Lastly, there was sufficient evidence to convict Case for the offense charged. The jury heard testimony from the victim, the correction staffs, and investigators. The jury also saw the video footage from the fight and heard the recorded phone call corroborating those witnesses. That phone call was from Case's own mouth, talking to his mother. The call is utilizing the in-house PIN system and account system, which correctly identifies or accurately identifies that it's him, as well as the jail staff that are familiar with his voice. The state therefore submits that the jury's verdict for Case was correct, and the district court did not err in allowing the exhibit or declining on the self-defense jury instruction. If there are no further questions, I ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 1 minute and 50 seconds.
1 minute and 50 seconds, Mr. Meyerly.
Thank you, Your Honor. Kinzer makes clear that it is not the province of the trial court to decide these factual issues, that the court is not to engage in weighing the credibility of witnesses and do we believe Mr. Case's testimony about the subject matter of why he went out of the pod. What matters is there any evidence that would support a legally cognizable claim of self-defense, and if so, then that instruction is to be given. What the district court did in this case was said, well, I didn't hear any testimony that Mr. Burley, the other inmate, had initiated the physical contact. Mr. Case's testimony was that Mr. Burley had initiated the physical contact.
So every time a defendant says, he hit me first, then the instruction's mandatory?
I believe so, Your Honor. I believe that it is not the province of the court. Kinzer makes clear that it is not the province of the court to decide the, you know, the credibility of an explanation. That if there is evidence...
Does the video in this case make a difference?
I think the video does make a difference. I think that the video in this case is, it was from a distance. It is not clear who initiated the physical contact. I think that it is fundamentally an issue for the jury to decide, supplemented with Mr. Case's testimony, and contrasted with the testimony of Mr. Burley, right? These are fundamental...
Does a phone call have any bearing?
Well, you know, I think that...
The defendant's saying one thing, and the defendant's saying something maybe different.
Yeah, and I think
that... What's the court to do in that situation?
I think that the court can't, you know, that the jury can decide whether the prior inconsistent statements on the phone call impeach Mr. Case's testimony on the stand that I was defending myself, but fundamentally it remains an issue for the jury to decide. What the state, and I see I'm out of time, may I finish my thought?
You may finish your thought.
Thank you, Your Honor. What I think the state and the district court, the error in this case is that they're asking to completely disregard Mr. Case's testimony, to remove from the jury the factual determination of whether or not they believe Mr. Case at all. And that's fundamentally not what the case law says. The case law requires a self-defense instruction when there's any evidence to support a legally cognizable claim. We believe we met that burden in this case, and we're asking the court to reverse Mr. Case's conviction in this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day, then, is State v. Kranewitter.